Good morning. Super excited to see everyone this morning. I can generally tell when we've had breakfast because everyone's moving a little bit slower after some pancakes are sitting in there. So I was super excited, super thankful for the deacons and some other men. And that's something I wanted to mention this, and I don't think I did a good job last week talking about this, is that even though the deacons are kind of the push behind that breakfast, any man can show up and help with that. And we would encourage that, and we would love to see that, right? So please, if you want to serve in that way, be here, and you can get the bacon when it's hot off the griddle if you're here early. All right, there, JT claims. We'll see if that's as I go say. It's like, we've had time in between Sunday school. We'll see. But there seems to be leftovers in the kitchen. So if you want to have a breakfast for lunch, there's pancakes and bacon in the kitchen. So please feel free to help yourself to that, right? Let's take a look at our announcements here. The first thing, and I want to impress this on you again, this is your responsibility, right? June 5th, we'll be having a ceremony to honor our graduates. As of right now, we know of two. We know of Hagen. He's back there. Everybody look at Hagen. He's so happy. Everybody's looking at him right now. We know of Hagen and Alexandria. Those are the two that we are aware of are graduating. This committee does a great job. They work super hard at this, but they are not mind readers. If there is someone else you are aware of that you would like the church to recognize, and we are very happy to do that, you need to let someone know. So after this event, if you're like, well, they didn't say anything about my third cousin, that'll be on you if you didn't tell us about your third cousin, right? Let us know. We would love to do that. We see here is that May 22nd, we'll be coming back for Sunday evening worship. We would love to have you join us. If you feel called to any type of ministry, we have a sign-up sheet out there of some slots that you could serve the church in if you feel so led in that. I would encourage you to take a look out there at that. You see right here, youth camp is rapidly approaching. How many have still need to register? Six. Okay, so six of you, I don't know if you are here or not because I don't know your names, but you haven't registered yet. And it's causing some problems in the reservation status. So if you have not registered your camper yet, please go and do that. Raphael claims it takes 5 minutes. It's a very fast process. Please go and do that. It's messing up our spots. So go and do that, please. You see there's some dates here for GA Day Camp, RA Overnight Camp. The leaders of those will be speaking to your kids. If you think your kid's interested in that, reach out to the leaders of those things, and they'll get that squared away. Also, the Owen County Christmas Project. Bobby brought a big box in of stuff this morning, so Bobby's serving that. We haven't got a tub out there yet, but we're doing a little bit different this year. You see right there of what we're looking for. Put those out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, and then that's going to go on throughout the year. And once we collect those, then they're going to have an opportunity for the parents of the children to come and select items. And so that's the plan, a little bit different than we've done it in the past, but that's why we have that in the bulletin every Sunday for you to take a look at that, right? Also here is Dallasburg Serves Meeting the Needs this Tuesday, May 10th, from 9 to 12 and 6 to 8. So if you have time that, I know more hands make the load light, and as we've seen a consistent trend that more cars are going. I know last Tuesday when we went, there was never a break the whole time we were there. It was just constant cars waiting in line all the way out onto the road, right? So the more people who can show up that, the easier it is for everyone. So if you have that time, we would love to see you there. All right. Well, today is an exciting day for the church, right? This is where we honor the women in our lives, and something that I was reading back through a previous message of mine, and something that I probably could have done a better job of expressing this to everyone, is that the concept of spiritual mothers as well, right? And what I mean by spiritual mothers is that's different women that you've had in your life that have served the role of a mom to you. that has spoken truth in your life, that has maybe bailed you out in trouble, or maybe literally bailed you out of jail, I don't know, right? But they've been there for you. And so what we want to do here at Dallasburg is we want to celebrate all of those individuals, all of the women in our lives and what they've done for us. So what we have here, Molly and B, who else is here? Yeah, Grayson. Grayson, don't even need to be told. Come on up, Grayson. Right? Emerson, is Emerson out here? She just left. She's like, she don't want to do this. So I would like to have all the women stand up, please. We have something for you. Guys, if you didn't get someone a gift, hey, grab an extra one. Just say you got it. It's okay. We're okay with that. There you go, guys. Anybody who wants to come and help do this, anybody can. It's not, those are just the ones I made eye contact with. Right, and what we want to do is we want to honor you today, right? And we just want to understand how thankful you are, how thankful we are to have you in our lives. You know, one of the things that I can account for in my life is obviously I have one, you know, biological mom, but I've had so many women in my life speak so much truth into my life and guide me and direct me and pray for me. And so we want this to be a special day for all of you. So we'll get those passed out. We were counting them last night. Melissa was sweating if we had enough. Hopefully we've got enough. If we don't, you know, I know what's in there. I don't think. There's a sweet treat in there. If you don't like chocolate, just hit me up. I'll be more than happy to take it off your hands for you, right? I was not able to taste any of it last night because we were running short on numbers. All right? Is that everybody? There you go, Grayson. Make it efficient. Just grab a handful. Oh, we lost one. It's okay. It's okay. All right. And you know, something else, and we'll speak about this more in today's message, but this is something that I want to impress upon all of you. It's not just today, right? Obviously, this is the focal point of the day. This is when the card companies and the flower shops and the candy companies, this is the day they want to focus this in on. But here's the reality. You should be respecting and honoring women in your life every day. You should be praying for them every day. You should be thankful to God every day that God has placed these women in your lives. And so, not just today, not just because, did everybody get one? Regina, did you get one? Okay, all right. Very good. JT, will you pray for our women for us, please? Thank you. Amen. All right, so now we'll have our musicians come forward to begin to prepare our hearts to get us ready to worship a holy God. Hey, the women, you can keep standing up because we're going to stand up, so.
Might as well just stay standing up, right? Sorry, caught me a little off guard. I usually prepare during the prayer, but I guess I run up now. But let us prepare our hearts to worship this morning as we sing and we celebrate not only the women in our lives, but also our Lord Jesus Christ. That it is because of him that we can celebrate and that we can live day by day. Amen. So let us sing this morning.
And did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light,
all the day because he lives. And if that is what you believe, I invite you, let us sing that this morning. God sent his son. And empty grave is there.
future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Amen. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12 say, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us." And that is the reason why we praise His name this morning, and I invite you, let us sing, "Oh, praise the name," and be reminded that it is because He has cleaned us and He has washed us that we can live for tomorrow.
His name forever.
sing his praise and we will behold his name, and one day we will behold our God sitting on the throne. Let us begin. Let us do that now as we sing, Behold Our God, and let us worship him in spirit and in truth.
Psalm 139:13 through 14. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today so thankful for the worship that we've been able to lift up to you, Lord. We're very thankful for the special holiday today, Lord, of Mother's Day. I just ask that we not just remember this, our mothers, just on Mother's Day, but we're very thankful for everything that they do for us on a day-to-day basis, and we just thank them for that daily, Lord. And I just lift up this offering that we're about to receive. I pray that we use this offering for ongoing work in your kingdom, Lord. I pray for Michael as he brings today's message, and that you speak through him, but you also speak to us, and you open our hearts and our minds to what you would say through him. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right. Big thanks to our musicians this morning in preparing our hearts to hear God's word. You know, it's this day, this holiday is a unique one for pastors, and there's really two schools of thought when it comes to Mother's Day. Some pastors act like it doesn't exist. They don't leave their normal text. They just keep moving forward in what they're teaching, and they do not acknowledge it at all. And there's a reason for that, is that this is a very difficult day for a lot of people, right? For a lot of you, this might be the first Mother's Day without your mom. For a lot of you, this might be a reminder of maybe a child that you've lost. This can be a reminder to a lot of people that they did not experience the mother in Scripture, right? They did not just experience the mother in real life that we often see portrayed in Scripture, right? Maybe they didn't have a wonderful mom. I can speak to a testimony for me, and I won't use the person's name, but they came to me once after it was a Sunday school class, and I was teaching Sunday school class, and they came up to me, and they could not have been kinder or gentler, and they said, "Hey, Michael, just a heads up, not everyone had the mom that you had." And I was like, of course, me not being the brightest person in the world, I was like, well, what do you mean by that? Right? It should be very clear what they meant. And they're like, hey, you know, my mom wasn't a great mom. Not by the world standards, but by biblical standards. And so today can bring those emotions back up for us, right? But what I would encourage us to do, because I'm in a different school of thought, is that I firmly believe is that we should take back these days and use them to glorify God, right? This is why we have a fall festival, because we're not afraid of what the secular world uses that for. We want to use it to glorify God. A little interesting information for you here is that Mother's Day has not always existed. For most of you here, it probably has always been a national holiday. It became a national holiday in 1914. You decide for yourself if you can remember that day or not. I cannot remember that day. Maybe you can, right? And so a young lady by the name of Anna Jarvis, this became her lifelong mission. She lost her mom, and she wanted to honor her mom for all the sacrifices that her mom had done for her. She came from a well-to-do family, that means rich, a family, and this became her lifelong mission. So back before cell phones and internet and all these other things, they had letter writing campaigns. And so what you would do is you would, that's funny, I know Mike is like, it's crazy to think, but this is how they did it. And so she would travel around the country and she would encourage people to write letters to their senators, to the president, to their congressman, congressman at the time. And it started off as hundreds of letters, then thousands of letters, then hundreds of thousands of letters pouring into Washington, D.C., asking for this to be made an official on-the-calendar holiday. And so that happened. And so her lifelong mission was met, but unfortunately it took a very dark turn. In about 5 to 8 years, Anna Jarvis began doing the exact opposite. She hit the campaign trail to have the holiday removed from the calendar because she had become so fed up with the commercialization of it. And because as you probably, your mileage may vary, but within about a year of her getting this holiday officially recognized as a national holiday, they call them confectionery companies. We would call those candy companies, right? Began marketing directly to people to buy more candy for your mom. And flour companies began this huge marketing campaigns, and their sales went through the roof this time of the year. And Anna became fed up with that because it had taken away what the essence of what this day was supposed to represent, of honoring the sacrifices for our mothers. And so what I think that we should do as a church and as followers of Christ is we should adhere to those original desire for this, and it's to honor our mothers. It's to be thankful for what our mothers have done for us. Even if you are with us today and maybe you're not, maybe you didn't experience, a mom that is going to model a lot of the behavior that we talk about today, I encourage you, like we said earlier, is to be thankful for those spiritual mothers you had. for those women in the church that have prayed for you and have taught you and have guided you. It's something that I talk about a lot, and you know, it's not really to beat up on the guys, because you know, I don't want to do that because I am a guy, but the reality is this, is that churches would not function without the women in them. That's just a fact, man. People can act like that's not true, but I mean, it is the glue that holds us together, right? And obviously the cornerstone being Christ, but women keep all this stuff going. I'll make fun, and I know Brad was a little bit involved in this. I got corrected on that, but Alan and I came last week, and they had just had the women's event. And they had like real tablecloths. I mean, it was like cloth. It was like fancy stuff, right? They had jars on them and marbles and pieces of wood that Brad had cut. And I told Alan, I was like, you can definitely tell when a woman's been involved in something. If that had been a bunch of guys, it would have been no tablecloths. You can get your own drinks out of the vending machine, and we're glad to see you, right? So women definitely put a special touch on things. And that's what we're here today, is we're here to be thankful for that. We're here to honor what they've done in our lives, right? And so what I want us to do, and this is a quick quiz, and everyone panics right now. They're like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a quiz. Oh no. It's not a real quiz. You answer this for yourself. Who in here today, we don't have Herb here with us today, so no one's going to answer out loud, right? If I say the word Jochebed, who in here knows who Jochebed is? Right? Everyone's like, oh no, don't call on me. Don't call on, I'm not going to call on anybody, right? Jochebed is the mother of Moses, right? The reason it's a little tricky, and I'm going to give you an excuse not to know her name, right, is that her name does not appear in the narrative of Moses at all. You don't see her name way until Numbers, right, which comes a lot, well, it's the next book after Exodus, right? But her name does not appear right where you would expect it to appear. It only appears twice in Scripture, and her name isn't talked about much. But what we're going to do is, if you have your books, if you have your Bibles there with you, if you turn to Exodus chapter 2, we'll read the narrative of the birth of Moses, but what, yeah, not Moses, Moses. We're going to read this, and I want you to, obviously, Moses is a big part of this discussion, right? But I want you to read a little deeper into what Jochebed did here, right? Let's take a look. This is Exodus chapter 2, verses 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman, that would be Jochebed. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother, Jochebed again. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took this child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." And then verse 11 says this, "For one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people." Let's pray. Dear God, we're so thankful for today, Lord. We just want to reclaim this holiday back to your glory, and we just want to give thanks to you for all of the women that you've placed in our lives, whether they be biological mothers or spiritual mothers, our aunts, right, our cousins, or just members of our church family, Lord. We're just so thankful for how you've wonderfully created these women, how you've given them a specific skill set to serve you. Lord, just an amazing thing. And Lord, we're just so thankful for each and every one of them, Lord. And Lord, as we take a look today in the life of Moses, Lord, we're just so thankful for the truth that we see about you in this narrative. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. And so, real quick, we have to set the context of what's going on in this time in Egypt. And this was a horrible time to be a Hebrew, right? So we just finished this study in our Sunday school class, and maybe many of you know the narrative of Joseph and how Joseph became second in charge in Egypt. Some even argue that he was in charge of Egypt, and the Pharaoh just didn't care at all. And so by de facto, Joseph was in charge. Whether you believe about that, Joseph was very important in Egypt. And because of that, the Hebrew nation was saved. But the Hebrew nation was blessed by God, and child after child after child after child, and they grew into a mighty nation, so large that Pharaoh became fearful of how powerful they had become simply by their numbers. And because he was afraid of being overthrown, what Pharaoh decided to do is he decided to enslave the Hebrew people. But the Hebrews were blessed by God, and they were a strong people, and they knew how to persevere. And even in slavery, to where Pharaoh treated them, you know, the concept of slavery that we understand is a little bit different than biblical slavery. It's like there were some slaves in biblical times were treated pretty good, right? They were basically members of the house, and they were treated pretty well. When you read this slavery, they were treated horrible. Like, they weren't fed correctly. Pharaoh got upset with them, he made their work twice as hard, just would not give them the Sabbath off. But in the midst of that, they continued to grow. The nation continued to get stronger because of God's blessings, to the point that Pharaoh knew, we got to deal with this. And so what Pharaoh did is he put an edict out and said, hey, every male Hebrew that's born, you got to kill him. He was talking to the midwives. He said, hey, when the Hebrews are on the birthing stool and the baby comes out, you kill them. Well, the Hebrew women feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. Amen. And so the nation continued to grow. And this is where Moses enters into the story, is he's born during this time. And so that's why we see here, when we see Moses' mother here, Jochebed, she's hiding Moses. And she's hid him for 3 months. Now, there's a lot in this story that I would love to have answered, and hopefully and prayerfully someday I will get to ask these questions to someone. But how you hide a baby for 3 months, I have no idea. Because I know all of our kids, they were loud and proud, man, and there was no hiding them. I mean, they had lungs and could scream and yell, and I'm like, I don't know how you hide this from nobody. But we see here in Scripture, she was successful. For 3 months, she had them hidden. But then she realizes she couldn't do it anymore, right? And so this is the first thing that I want to talk about here. And this is, as we look at our mothers, this is the first point in the back of your bulletin, is that it's not always a glamorous thing, right, what your mom has done for you. It's probably difficult for you to come into realization all of the sacrifices that your mom has made for you. Right? It's just very, very difficult for you to even get your head wrapped around that, right? Now, did your mom ever have to go to the extreme levels of Jochebed here? No. I don't think anyone was ever coming to kill you as a child. But the reality is massive sacrifices. One of the things that frustrate me pretty highly with our today's society is that who gets all of the attention, right? It's usually movie stars. It's usually athletes, right? They're making money that when I hear the numbers they're making, like, I don't even know if that's a real number. It could be made up for all I know. Like, I don't know how many zeros that is, right? But the reality is what holds families together are moms, right? Of what they teach their children. Now, do men have important roles to play? Absolutely. Men are the leaders of the homes. But who holds the homes together? It's the moms. It's the sacrifices that your mom has made for you. One of the things, and I have to bring this up is that one of the things that many of you get wrong, and I've got this wrong, I've used this analogy before, and I've changed my thinking, is that when we discuss the concept of unconditional love, right, the love that God showed for us, the love that Christ shows for us, we want to use examples like, that's exactly how my mom loved me. That is not exactly how your mom loved you, right? Your mom loved you a lot. She's probably the closest on this side of glory you've ever came to truly experiencing unconditional love. But at some point, your mom is done with you, right? I have experienced that in my life. Like, my mom is a very loving person, but there comes a point, it's on, right? You've reached the end of that. Now, one of the things that I have grown in, and when I like to talk about our mothers and I talk about the characteristics of God, there's a characteristic that I believe your mother is closer to than unconditional love. And that's this: God wants what's best for you. God wants you to live a life glorifying to Him. Sometimes that includes trials. Sometimes, well, it's always going to include trials. There's going to be difficulties. But even in the midst of all that, God wants what's best for you because He knows what's best for you. Does that sound like anybody? That's your mom. Your mom is much like that. She only wants what's best for you. Now, at times, anybody in here have been told by their mom not to do something? You do not have to raise your hand because I know it's all of you, right? I always like to share this story. When I was a kid and there were three boys in the house, and God bless my mom, I'd say all the time, like, I don't know how they afford to feed us. Like, I don't know. I don't know how they fed all three of us at the same time. But there was a number one rule: you cannot play ball in the house. That was a clear rule, and we would play football in there, and we would just do everything inside the house, and we would get yelled at, and we have to go outside, right? Well, when I was thought I was grown up, I was not grown up, but I had my own apartment, I'm like, can nobody tell me I can't play ball in the house anymore? I can throw this ball in the house if I want to. Within 30 seconds, what had I done? I broke a lamp, and there was all the glasses on the ground. I'm like, yeah, mom was right. Yeah, you shouldn't play ball in the house, right? Now, as she was restricting that from me, the truth is that she just cared about me. She probably didn't want her lamp broken either, but she just cared about me, and she was trying to instruct me in a kind way. That's what our mothers are doing for us here, and that's one of the things we see that Jochebed here does with Moses, is that she wants to do what's best for him. And look, she is literally, now a lot of you moms, maybe you think figuratively you've done this, but Jochebed is literally laying her life on the line so Moses can live. That's an amazing thing. And why was she able to do that? Because she feared God more than she feared man. And so this is something I still see this all the time. I see mothers having to fight for their children. Right? Of children are being taught and shown things in this society that is not biblical. And moms and dads, we don't talk about, we pick on dads, we elevate moms, right? Is moms are having to fight against this and hold true to what God's word says. It's very important for us to understand this, right? And that's what your mom has done for you. Something that is also important here, and I talk about this a lot with youth when I get an opportunity. And we find this in Exodus chapter 20, right? Many of you know that. That's where we find the Ten Commandments, is in Exodus chapter 20. This is verse 12, and this is where we have the transition from a vertical relationship, right? The first four are our relationship between us and God, and then we transition to a horizontal relationship between us and man. And what is the first one that God gives? Honor your father and mother. Now, notice this, young people. Really, it's all of you, but we'll talk about young people just for a second. There's no age limit on that. It doesn't say, hey, when you turn 18, you ain't got to do this anymore. That is clearly not what it says here. It says, honor your father and mother. And what does that mean? Always honor your father and mother. And no, every now and then I'll share this conversation with someone, and someone's bold enough and say, what's that mean, Michael? How do I honor my father? I'm like, what's that mean? Honor. I don't know what that means. Well, this is the way I answer that, and I think there's a lot of right answers to this question. One of the main ways you honor your mother is you spend time with your mother. You give her time, right? You know, one of the things that is most precious to us, right, is your time. I always like to share with people, and it changes. I think right now it's Elon Musk. You know, he's the richest guy in the world, right? I mean, he's got money that is not even seems real to me. But here's the reality. He only got 24 hours a day too. No matter how wealthy he is, he does not have more time. Now, the truth is he probably has more free time, right? Because he's got people doing things for him. But the reality is he only gets 24 hours a day too. Something that I would encourage you today to think about, because I'm going to just work off the assumption that everyone agrees with Exodus 20, verse 12. I'm just going to work from that assumption. One of the primary ways for you to honor your mother and father. We'll get to them later, right? And we have a holiday for them later. Is to spend time with your mom. Commit to spending time with her. Call her. Send. I mean, you have so many means to communicate with your mom, but you know what's best? Go see her, right? I mean, it's just, it's an amazing thing. And I get it, man. You're busy. You got things to do. Something's going crazy at work. This is broke at home. This ain't working right. You know, I'll see her tomorrow, but here's the truth. You may not get a tomorrow to see your mom. You may not get it. As many of you sit here today, and as I talk about this, you would love to be able to do this with your mom. You would love to be able to pick the phone up right now and call your mom and talk to her, and you've lost that. There's a lesson for you to learn who have not lost that. Do not give that opportunity away. Spend time with your mom. Now, maybe your mom's a little bossy. They exist, right? No one, everyone's afraid to laugh at that on Mother's Day, but you all know it's true. Maybe your mom's a little bossy, a little controlling, right? It happens. But what I encourage you to think about what I said earlier. The truth is, all your mom wants for you is what's best. And so as she's trying to tell you things, and no matter how old you are, whether you're, you know, 50 years old and you still have your mom, or you're 7 years old and still have your mom, or you're 20 years old and you still have your mom, she still wants what's best for you, and she's trying to give you advice. Does this mean mom is always right? Absolutely not, because mom is not God, right? Mom can be wrong, right? But the truth is, she's trying to do what's best for you, and be thankful for that, right? And for those of you that are with us here today, that opportunity no longer exists for you to contact your mom and to spend time with her, what I would encourage you to do is to give praise and thanks to God for the type of mom you had and how thankful you were that you were able to spend time with her and the truth she taught you and the trouble she kept you out of, right? It's just an amazing thing. It's just one of the things that my grandfather said to me. He told me this every time I saw him. And at some point, you're just like, oh, gosh, I'm so tired of hearing this. But it's the truth. One of the best friends you'll ever have in your life is your mom. Now, initially, you're not supposed to be friends with your kids. That's a discussion for a different day. But eventually, you will understand that no one in life cares more about you than your mother. It's an amazing thing. Dad, you're like, what, am I chopped liver? No, dads, you're not chopped liver. You get a day later for you. We're talking about moms today. Just be thankful and to understand the sacrifices that your mom went through for you. It wasn't always glamorous. You think your mom enjoyed cooking all those cookies for you on your birthday, right? You think she enjoyed all that? The truth is, she did. She did enjoy all that, right? Be thankful for that. We move on here talking about Jochebed as we talk about her faith. And this is where we'll spend the majority of our time this morning. And this is something that is very difficult to relate in 2022 to try to describe for you the conditions that Jochebed and Amram, his name shows up later, that's Moses' dad, of the conditions that they were in. It's just a concept that you and I have a hard time getting our heads wrapped around. But like I said, and this is something that's not figurative speech, this is real speech. They were coming and taking the male children and killing them. Like, it was a infanticide, right? Infanticide is what it was. All male children were being killed. But we see the faith of Jochebed risking her life. We see it goes further on, and she realizes that, and we've read that, right? She's like, she can't hide him anymore. So what does she do? She makes a little boat, right, out of reeds and puts a little bit of tar on it and puts it in the Nile River. I don't know about you all. I can promise you, Melissa ain't putting none of our kids in Twin Creek in a little river made out of grass. Like, that ain't gonna happen, right? I always tell this story. It's, you know, I have a degree in chemistry, so I spent 4 years in college basically learning how to measure things. Like, that was the extent of it. And just until a couple years ago, I was not allowed to give medicine to our kids because my wife did not have faith that I could measure medicine correctly. I'm like, I have a degree in this. Like, this is what I specialize in. No, I'll measure it. I'm like, what? Anyway, right? So we're talking about the faith I mean, Jochebed had so much faith and trust in God. Number one, she risked her own life. And now also she's put her baby into a boat and sent him down the Nile River. Now, if you all spent much time as I did as a young person watching the Discovery Channel, guess what the Nile River's full of? Crocodiles. Now, and if you have not gone to a museum or a zoo and seen how big a crocodile is, you think alligators are big? They're tiny compared to crocodiles. They can be 20 feet long. They are massive, and the Nile River is full of them. Something that's interesting you see here is it says they were amongst the bulrushes, right? That's just where Pharaoh's daughter would come and bathe. Right, they're not dumb. They're not going to go take a bath where there's crocodiles. And so when what Scripture is telling you there is those bulrushes, crocodiles didn't like that because they couldn't hide as well in that. So it was a safer option, but not a completely as safe as you in your tub option, for sure. Right? And so we see her faith. And we see something else here by Moses' sister, her name is Miriam. And once Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses, she has the audacity to speak to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that's something else that we probably don't understand. You probably think of the most famous person you know. You fill in the blank, whoever, right? I don't care about famous people, but, you know, whoever's the most famous person to you. Compare that to the Pharaoh. Hebrew people were not even supposed to look at him. Not even, don't let their gaze meet his. And for Miriam to have the audacity to speak to Pharaoh's daughter, it would have blown your mind. The original readers and hearers of this narrative, they would have like when they would have read that, they would have been aghast at that concept. But she's so bold. Why is she so bold? It's exactly the second point on your bulletin, because of her faith in God. Because she has faith that God is going to see her through this. And now, the amazing thing we see here is we see this, and we're getting to the point of the main, what is our faith based in? Our faith is based in our belief in the sovereignty of God and what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Right? That's what our faith is based in. But Jochebed's faith would have been based in this concept of sovereignty, of understanding that no matter how important Pharaoh ever became, he was still but a man, and God is God, and God does what God is going to do. Why? Because God is sovereign. And so you want to understand how you can get through a tough day? You want to understand how you can make it through a tough holiday like this, like I know it is for some of you? It's because you understand that God is sovereign, and that even through these difficulties, even through these trials, what has God promised you? He didn't say, I might do this. He promised you this in Romans 8:28. What does he say? I will use all of this to my glory. And so God is going to see you through these situations. And Jochebed and Miriam, they both model that amazingly for us, this concept of sovereignty. And we see God's sovereignty played out because what happens? Right? Moses is 3 months old. There wasn't no, I just went blank on the names, Enfamil. That's the name of a formula, right? There was no Enfamil you could go buy. It's been a long time since we had to buy any formula, right? There was no chef to go that, so Moses still needed to be nursed. And what did God's sovereignty produce? Guess who got to nurse him? Jochebed. And guess what? She paid him. She paid her, right? So not only did she get to spend that time with Moses, not only did she get to still be with her child, she now gets paid to raise her child, right? And so you think there's times in your life that you're like, oh man, how are we going to get through this? This is how you get through it. You have to have faith in God's sovereignty. Now, is that easy for me to stand up here on a Sunday morning? When things are going amazing, I've had some great conversations this morning, had some pancakes, and I wish I could eat the bacon, but I can't eat the bacon anymore. And I was like, man, just a great time of hanging out with people. It's easy for me to say that, but the reality is, we've talked about this extensively the last 2 weeks, trials are coming. You are going to endure hardships. Things are going to be tough, right? We're going to have to use the fire of the refinery to remove the impurities from you. Those days are coming. Many of you are in the midst of those days right now. And you want to know how you deal with it? The same way Jochebed dealt with it is her faith in God. and what God has promised he's going to do for her. Now for us, where does our faith manifest itself? It manifests itself in what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Right? We've sang about it this morning. That's where your faith comes from. I was reading a discussion this week, and they were saying that there's an alarming trend against amongst pastors that they're not focusing much on the resurrection. Like they're skipping it for some reason. And that's a big problem. That's a real big problem, because what is our faith in? Our faith in the fact that we serve a God who is resurrected, right? Who is no longer in a grave. You know, you've heard me say this before, is that, and some of you have made this trip, right? You've been to the Middle East and you've walked and, you know, and somebody told you this was this person's house, that's that person's house. There is no house, there is no grave that they can take you to and like, this is where Jesus' body is buried. Because guess what? It's not there anymore. Amen? It's an amazing thing. And so that's what our faith has to spring from, right? It's very important for us to understand this concept of sovereignty. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about here, and that's why I read verse 11, because verse 11 there kind of seems a little bit out of place, because we have Moses as a baby, and he's put in this little boat, and they find him. And then when we go back and look at Acts, where Stephen gives his discourse, we find out that Moses is about 40 years old. And so that's one of the things that's tricky about Scripture. It compresses and sometimes elongates time. So within one sentence, Moses is 40 years old, right? He jumps to 40. But what do we see there in verse 11 is that he understands the Hebrews are his people. And that deserves a little bit of time for us to think about. Because what's the truth about Moses? Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court. Now that begs another question. If Pharaoh says, kill all the Hebrews, but then Pharaoh's daughter shows up with the baby. Like, I'm no doctor, even though I am an MD. That's just my initials, right? I know babies just don't appear, right? And so how did she have a baby in Pharaoh's court? Well, there's actually an answer, a supposed answer for that is probably she lied. And the court of Pharaoh was so big, and women and men didn't intermingle a ton. And so as her father, he probably didn't spend much time with her. And so she just lied and just hid Pharaoh. Or not hid Pharaoh, but hid Moses. Like, he probably didn't know that he had a Hebrew growing up in his court. But so Moses is 40 years old now, but we see here in Scripture, he clearly knows his people are the Hebrews. He has not identified as an Egyptian. He identifies as the Hebrews. How is that possible? Well, I think it's very likely as he learned that from his mom, Jochebed. She taught him. And so the third point there is one of the most important jobs that mothers have been blessed to receive is that they are to teach their children. And not just teach them their ABCs, our multiplication table, those things are important, right? But to teach them about the Lord, right? And to share with them. I was reading about this, and I read this story. There was four different pastors, and they were sitting around, and sometimes pastors get into this, and they were having a debate, what was the best translation of Scripture? Of course, one guy was a KJV only. He said, if it ain't King James, I ain't talking about it, right? We have people like that. And somebody else was like, I'm an ESV guy, right? I'm an ESV guy, right? And they're having this debate. And the fourth guy said, my favorite translation is my mom's. And the other three pastors, like, they were amazed. They're like, your mom translated the Bible? He said, yeah, she translated into life. I saw her living Scripture every day. I saw her being kind to me every day when I did not deserve that, so she modeled grace for me. I saw her kind to other people who were not kind to her as she was modeling, we love people the way God loves us. And he just went on and on to say that she put Scripture into real life for him. Now, as your pastor, one of the things that I don't like it, but I do know it's the truth, is that sometimes you are the only Scripture someone's going to read initially. I pray that changes very soon for them, and I pray the Spirit comes into them and it grows in them a desire to read Scripture on their own. But quite often, you are the first Scripture that people encounter. And what an amazing thing that our moms have modeled that for many of us, right? Again, I understand There are some of you sitting here today that cannot say that. And that's unfortunate. That is unfortunate. But the reality is, a lot of us can. And we can see the reality that our moms had put into our lives, right? I wanted to share one last thing with you. And, you know, one of the things that is very interesting, and if you spent much time reading the New Testament, you can only imagine. Let's just let our moms imagine this for a second. Imagine your children, as they get a little bit older, they get a little bit smarter. We'll just say they get a little bit smarter, right? We pray they get a lot smarter, right? But you understand, there becomes a strained relationship. Like, we've seen it in our home, right? Meredith is very honorable and respecting of her mother and myself, but she's, according to the world, she's an adult, right? Right? So that relationship begins to change a little bit. So you've seen that. Maybe you've experienced it yourself. It's a little bit difficult. Imagine being Jesus's mom. You think you've had a hard time transferring and understanding that. Imagine Jesus's mom, because on one hand, Mary is Jesus' biological mother. But on the other hand, Jesus is her Lord and Savior, right? And so that brings us to Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 49. This is a very misunderstood area of teaching in Scripture, right? And so it's something that deserves some of our time this morning. And so while he was still speaking, he being Jesus, to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak with him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." And so oftentimes this verse is taught as like, man, Jesus wasn't a very good son. Well, we know that's not true, right? Because Jesus did everything perfect. There's a point here that Jesus is teaching that is relevant to you and I today. Is that maybe you do fall into one of those camps. And as we've talked about, you know, maybe our mom's life not always being the most glamorous and the faith that our moms displayed for us, maybe you can honestly say, that is not the mother I grew up with. And that's unfortunate, and I'm sorry about that for you. But what Jesus is teaching here to the disciples and also teaching us is, if that is the case, there is something amazing, though, because guess what? Now you're part of a spiritual family. Right? We are a family, right? We come together. And so maybe you didn't have a biological mom that models this, but that's not to say you won't have a spiritual mom who cares for you and loves for you and models faithful behavior and who is sacrificing for you. I know I've had many of those in my life, and that's what I want to end with today, is encouraging you to understand this, is that even though today is a tough day for many people, just how blessed you are to have a church family. And we are a family. Like, we just don't come here on Sundays and hang out together a little bit. No, we are a family. And just think, and I know I can say this for my kids, because my kids need as many moms as y'all willing to be, right? I can say that. And I'm just thankful for all of the spiritual mothers that have been spiritual mothers to my children. And I know a lot of you can say the same thing, right? It's just amazing. When I have someone come up to me and share something with me, and they're acting the same way my mom would act. And the reality is, they're being a spiritual mom to me. And I know you're feeling that same. I know you feel that as well. And so what we are to do today is we're to be thankful. I do not want us as a church to become another Anna Jarvis, to begin to hate this day. Right? The back end of that story of her is really sad. Like I said, she came from a well-to-do. Understand that means rich, right? A rich family. She died alone and broke because she spent every penny she had on hiring lawyers to try to undo this national holiday. Obviously, she failed because we still celebrate it. But she just died alone and unhappy because she did not understand what the blessing of this day can be, right? And so I close with this, is that just remember, honor your mother and father. Reach out to them. Just to piggyback on what JT said, and Simon said the same thing today too, is that don't think it's just today, man.